You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Thanks for choosing this free Anfield Index podcast. If you'd prefer to listen to this or any of our other shows without adverts, then now's the time to check out Anfield Index Pro. With AI Pro, you can supercharge your entire listening experience. You'll not only get all of our podcasts without the ads, but you'll have them far faster with our quick publish feature available exclusively for subscribers. AI Pro also puts you in the heart of our sound studio, with an option to listen to many of our shows live and interact with the podcasters in real time as the shows are recording. Upgrading couldn't be easier. AI Pro is available on all popular podcast platforms, and we have our own apps for Apple and Android. Just head on over to AnfieldIndexPro.com and get started today.
Hello and welcome to your post-match Raw on Anfield Index Pro. That was a thing. I'm Trev Denny. I'm joined by Dave Hendrick and by Carl Matchett to talk about the horror show that was Everton 2, Liverpool 0, as the Reds effectively coughed up their dreams of the league title at the ground of their local enemy. It was a horror show from start to finish, one of the worst performances we've seen from this lot, and it appears as if the decision has been made to end the Klopp era with a whimper rather than anything vaguely resembling a bang. I'm not so much as sad or phlegmatic or virtue signaling about how we had some great times as other people all over my Twitter timeline. I'm just fucking angry, Dave, and I don't mind saying it. I don't mind sometimes when you get beat by a better team. I don't mind sometimes when you come up short in a game where you've been battling and some things can just go against you. We've had a couple of results like that this season. This wasn't one of those.
No, this was pathetic. This was absolutely pathetic from start to finish. That's a team that's badly coached. That's a team that's tactically inept. That's a manager who's not only out of energy, but he's out of ideas. And it is the right time for him to leave. And if we want to have a really honest discussion about Jurgen Klopp at some point, we can do that. And it will start with the first 4 years were great, and the last 4 years haven't been good enough. They haven't been good enough. One FA Cup and two League Cups is not good enough for the quality of players we've had. Last season was a write-off. 2021 was a write-off. So that's just not good enough. And it is the right time for him to go. And he'll go with all our thanks. And like we did have great times in the early years with him. The first four full seasons were tremendous. Even the first bit of a season he took over from Rodgers and we got to two cup finals. But what we're seeing now is a team just running on empty, capitulating, lacking fight, lacking desire. The only player that looked like he actually gave a shit tonight was Luis Diaz. He's the only one that actually looked like he cared. And if I look at our team tonight, right, 16 lads played. We got three yellow cards. All of them for moaning at the ref. Mm. moaning and cry-arsing at the ref. In that first half, Everton were much better than us. We had all the ball and did absolutely nothing with it, bar create two chances late on in the half. They had a very clear game plan, a very clear idea of how to play, and they knew what they wanted to do, and they executed it over and over and over again. And you know what our manager was doing when he could have been trying to change things? He was stood giving out to the fucking fourth official, having a cry at him. And if people wonder why the officials don't like Liverpool, it's because that's what he does far too often, is stand there for about 15 minutes. Gary Neville referred to it about 8 times in the first half. He at one point asked, could they get a little shot up in the corner of just Klopp talking to Simon Hooper and having a tantrum over irrelevant things? Yet they were falling over and getting soft free kicks. That's what happens. Fucking figure something out. Make a change. If you have to pull one of them off after 25 minutes, do it. Maybe it sends the right message. Instead, Mo Salah plays 95 minutes. Well, sorry, 101 minutes if we count first half stoppage time. Garbage. Utter garbage. Darwin Nunes. Has he been space jammed? Like, the fella doesn't look like he knows how to play football. Plays the whole game. Trent plays up until the 85th minute, wandering about midfield, trying to play Hollywood passes. This is the tactical plan. Give it to Trent and let him do what he wants. It's unacceptable. It's unacceptable to go into a derby, regardless of anything else, regardless of titles or anything else. The derby is the derby. And to go in and be as piss poor, as weak as that is unacceptable. Nobody there to fucking crack into somebody. Nobody willing to really get things fired up by clattering into somebody and getting some sort of spark in the team. Endo came on, he looked like a raffle winner. First touch immediately gives them an opportunity. And it just went from there with him. All, like, 4 of the 5 subs, he changes 3 in the back line and brings on a defensive midfielder. And he'll, I'm sure at some point he'll be asked about the game and he'll say there was things he liked. And when they scored the second goal, there he is, big smile on his face on the sideline. Oh, this is grand. Yeah, no, I'm not in it to win things. I'm in it to make relationships. Thank you, but goodbye.
Carl, it's very difficult to be anything other than annoyed, because what the bigger picture here is, of course, that there was still an outside chance of a league title, regardless of what you think the odds on that were. Instead, we are now 3 points behind Arsenal, who have a really ridiculously superior goal difference. So 4 points behind Arsenal, and City have 2 games in hand and they're a mere point behind us. So it's gone. Is what it is. It's simply gone. And it would take some sort of miraculous event for it to turn around. And of course, a double miraculous event for us to seize upon the opportunity, which we failed to do again and again and again over this run-in, when it was in our hands, out of our hands, in our hands, out of our hands, and so on and so forth. This is what sticks in the craw most. And then there is the even bigger picture, Carl, of the fact that this is how this is going to end with this man. Because regardless of how it's gone, you know, the fondness and affection everybody has for him is so great that it just feels completely ill-befitting for me.
No, I agree. I don't think Klopp deserves an end of era. That's what it would be in football terms, for sure. An end of era like this, the way it's finishing, because it's crap and there's no two ways about it. We've been pretty bad for about 2 months now, but the results have been atrocious now for the past month, which is obviously what people are going to really remember, because that's what's coming right at the end. I'll be honest, tonight is absolutely pathetic. There's no other word for it. It was a disgraceful showing by 9 players out there. Absolutely disgraceful. Forget the context of the league. For that match, for that occasion, for that opponent, it's just not acceptable in the slightest. And like, I would say there are a minimum of four players in that starting lineup tonight who I don't think should play another game this season from the start, you know, be sub, be whatever, but they shouldn't be in the lineup again. I mean, Trent was, has already been labelled for what he was an absolute disgraceful show tonight. It was a cowardly performance from him. I've never seen a professional footballer shit himself the way he did for 2-0 when a forward appeared beside him to head the ball. I really have no words for that performance from him tonight, but far from the only one. Dominic Szoboszlai, absolutely nowhere. Didn't show himself once. Spent most of the second half trying to claim free kicks that didn't exist and doing absolutely nothing else. Konate, effort, sure, that was there from him. Ability, absolutely not. I think it took us until about the 81st minute to put a tackle in. Now it's Jarrell Kwanzaa after he came on a sub. Probably the least experienced player on the pitch. It was a pathetic and cowardly performance tonight.
Yeah, exactly. Well put, concise, sums it up. And it makes you feel as if analysis of the game is kind of almost pointless, except by doing that, we will actually highlight exactly why and what happened and how it happened. And we'll just spend a little bit of a moment talking about the selection here, because it is relevant. There were two guys who were unavailable. Coley Gakpo's about to be a dad, so he was excused duty. And the other absentee is Diogo Jota, who was injured again. That obviously makes us look a bit light. And the bench tonight is Gomez, Endo, Elliott, Tsimikas, Gravenberch, Clark, Kelleher, Dans and Kwanzaa. Yeah, we'll talk about the substitutions, because that to me was the biggest indicator of what's gone awry of late and the lack of coherence in what, as far as I can see at least, in what's going on. But this, that lineup where you have nominally our best back four and five, if you include Alisson, where you have Max, Szoboszlai and Jones, which could be nominally our best.
Probably our best 11.
Trio
in midfield. Maybe Jota.
Yeah, and then Salah, Nunes, Diaz. Jota might have a shout on a certain day. And certainly the way lads are playing at the moment, he would. That's as strong as it gets for us. And therefore, it comes down. And by the way, we have 77% of the ball today. We register 23 shots, 7 of which are on target. And yet Everton managed 6 shots on target and 16 shots from 23% of the ball. Because almost every time they had a free kick, which was ludicrously conceded by us, they made hay with it, because we can't win headers or tackles or second balls tonight. We are ridiculously poor. And that 11 there is an 11 that you would, in a different world, you'd be thinking, wow, imagine that, we're coming strong towards the end of the season. We get to put out that team. Everything's coming up Liverpool. But uniformly, it's appalling. And just to get a word from you on that, Dave, how can it go so badly wrong? And is it because it did seem quite attitudinal? I thought that was really interesting what Carl's saying. Dom Szoboszlai in particular, at one stage he's throwing himself around on the deck, riding continental style. And I'm sorry, like, just get the fuck up. I don't care. It probably actually was a foul on him, but it doesn't matter. We've established that Madley's not giving us anything, so get on with it. And actually, my point in that was, and my point several times during the game when I was talking to myself was, win a fucking tackle. Yes. Just win a tackle. Or if you don't win a tackle, just break his fucking leg. I don't care. Show some heart.
Just boot one of them up in the air. Give the referee something to give a free kick over.
How can that team, full of strength and theoretically full of character, full of captains, full of strong physical players, how can they shit the bed so badly?
Because they're not physical players, Trev, is the actual truth of it. They're soft. This is a soft team that's been built to play a different brand of football than what Liverpool won with under Jurgen Klopp.
Would you not consider Mo Salah has been pound for pound, probably, apart from Sadio Mane and his...
Yeah, but he's playing in the front line, and we have him stood out on the touchline, not in the heart of the game for most of it. Like, he had the same number of touches as Jordan Pickford through the first 35 minutes of the game. We're not getting him involved. I'm talking about the more recent signings. Like, if you look at the more recent signings, these are not the physical. There's no Ginny Wijnaldum that's been signed. There's no Sadio Mane that's been signed. There's no Fabinho that's been signed. These are softer players. These are more cultured players because we've moved away from what worked for us, what won us a Champions League and what won us a European Cup, to playing this more controlled brand of football, which people might not like this. It's driven by the assistant manager. This is his brand of football. This is the furthest thing from Jurgen Klopp's football. I watched Jurgen Klopp manage Mainz. I watched him manage Dortmund. I watched him manage Liverpool for 4.5 years, playing a brand of football that was very, very particular to him, that had copycats all over Europe. And this team is unrecognizable from that team. That midfield, three very, very talented footballers. And Alexis will get himself stuck in. But he's small. He's not exactly the most ferocious player going into a tackle. Like, he's not booting anybody up in the air. Szoboszlai tonight, soft as shite. Absolutely soft as shite, which is not something I expected from him. And Curtis Jones looked like a lost boy in the first half and probably shouldn't have come out of the tunnel for the second half. A little bit better in the second half, but marginally. Like, we lack a real purpose to this team. And what's infuriating is we beat Sheffield United on the 4th of April, the start of this month, first game of the month. And we're top of the league. We're top of the Premier League. And we're looking, and the cavalry are coming back. Mo is back. Jota's coming back. Trent is back. Ali's coming back. And we're thinking, oh, the title's on here. The title's absolutely on here. Look at our fixtures. We're going to Old Trafford. They're garbage. Garbage. 2-2 draw. Very, very fortunate to get out of there with that draw as well, because we needed the late penalty, even though we dominated the game. We lose at home to a very, very bad Crystal Palace team. And I know they've won back-to-back games since, but they're not a good team. They're in the position they're in for a reason. We go to Fulham. They're not a great team. They're mid-table for a reason. We beat them 3-1, but we didn't play well. There was a better performance second half than first half, but it was a very, very low bar. And now we've lost to Everton tonight. Oh, and in the interim, we lost to an average Atalanta team 3-0 at home and went over there and didn't even put up a real fight. Scored a goal and almost seemed happy to be there. Like, isn't this a great time? Sure, we're all in Italy in April, lads. This is lovely. Wouldn't you love to? You love getting away from the cold UK weather, and Italy's a lovely place to go. It's unacceptable, the level of performance with our best players available. But there's nobody in this team that you look at and think, if the going really gets tough, he's going to boot someone up in the air, like Fabinho used to. Like Fabinho used to set the tone. Remember the game at Anfield? You'll remember this game. So we'd played a team a week or so before, and we lost 3-0. And we were playing at Anfield in what they call a second leg, 3-0 down. And very early in the game, a fella called Luis Suarez that used to play for us gets the ball and gets absolutely upended by Fabinho. And the whole place went mental. And he got booked for it, wrongly, but it lifted the team. And it lifted the energy levels, and everybody was clattering into tackles, knocking players off the ball, bullying them. And tonight, we've just watched our team be bullied by Dominic Calvert-Lewin, a player so irrelevant that when Gary Neville awarded him Man of the Match, he called him Daniel Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah.
That's what we've just seen. Dominic Calvert-Lewin having the game of his life. The guy scored 6 goals this year before tonight. 3 last year, 3 the year before. And he's just had himself a field day. Meanwhile, the striker we bought, who I have to say I've probably defended more than anybody and certainly more than he's deserved, is having strop after strop after strop, throwing pieces of grass and getting battered by their centre-backs and then hiding from the battle. And at one point, I was actually hoping he'd just walk up and headbutt James Tarkowski and get himself sent off, just because it might have put a bit of fucking spark into the team. But he couldn't even do that for me. The only player I thought who showed enough fight and desire tonight was Luis Diaz. Now, Carroll said he thought there was two. I don't know who he means as the other one. Maybe Ali.
Ali, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, of the outfield players, Luis Diaz is the only one walking out of there with any sort of credit. And it's just for effort. It's not for anything else.
But also, as you and I said, there's probably a very good reason why Luis Diaz has effort levels higher than everybody else. To be cynical about it, we know that Luis Diaz has got an eye on a move.
I don't need a VPN. I've got nothing to hide. This is what I used to tell myself before I hooked up with LibertyShield.com. Not only is my home internet now fully encrypted, but I can now access all the websites I want, whenever I want, and do so from absolutely anywhere. As a Liverpool fan, I love to know I can now watch every match, regardless of whether it's on UK TV or not. My Liberty Shield VPN makes sure nothing is blocked and guarantees me super fast streaming speed throughout that match. You can get connected right now with their software package, which includes a 48-hour no-obligation free trial and instant access to their apps for Apple, Android, Fire TV, PC, Mac, and Android TV. Or go a step further like I have and get one of their pre-configured VPN routers. These small but powerful devices allow you to easily connect every device in your home to VPN, making it the perfect solution for smart TVs, Mac boxes, and games consoles. Visit LibertyShield.com today and use coupon code AIVPN25 to get 25% off at checkout.
Yeah, a move or a new contract.
Or a new contract.
That's as simple as that.
Yeah. Carl, let's look at some of the details of the game. We'll go up as far as the goal that we concede on 27 minutes. So we'll take the first half hour, you and I. And in that first half hour, there's red flag after red flag. And in fact, after 3 minutes, Everton carve an opportunity and Doucouré side foots badly wide on 3 minutes. We do have an opportunity almost immediately where Diaz carries the ball, centers it to Darwin, who can't quite get there. Then they have a penalty awarded to them on 5 minutes. It's a Harrison ball over the top, which catches us flat-footed. Calvert-Lewin versus Ali, and Ali takes him out. Now, it took a long time for VAR to have a look at it because thankfully he was offside and there was an offside, clear offside that was given. It did take forever, but anyway, it was given in the end. And Ali's yellow card is rescinded. And like so many times in recent matches, I'm thinking, I can't even believe I'm saying this to myself, but I did actually foolishly think, is this the kick in the arse that we needed? On 8 minutes, there's a good break. Robbo puts in an absolutely appalling cross with loads of lads inside him. Kills the move stone dead. On 9 minutes, Trent hits one of his Hollywood wonder balls out to Mo Salah. He squares it on the volley. And Godfrey gets there to clear it from danger. A couple of corners, nothing really happens. And actually, they have a break from a Trent lazy pass back towards Ali where he nearly puts his keeper in bother. Godfrey heads a McNeil free kick wide on 12 minutes. Another free kick on 16 minutes. Tarkowski wins it. Calvert-Lewin header is beaten away by Ali. They just win headers. We can't win any. Another header at goal in 19 minutes from them from another free kick. Couple of corners from the Reds, which lead to nothing. And on 27 minutes, we're a goal down. It is Branthwaite. A ridiculous bit of pinball going on around our goals. We can't clear our lines. It's clown show, Keystone Cop stuff. Can't win a header, can't clear our lines. Joke shop defending. Branthwaite hits it. Ali almost does enough to stop it, but it squirms in. And it's a goal befitting the game and the performance, in that it's messy and ugly and I think actually entirely deserved by Everton.
Yeah, completely deserved by them at that point. We'd basically done nothing clean in the final third. Like, we'd had a couple of shots, like you say, we'd had a couple of openings. up to that point, but nothing wildly clear, nothing that we could really say like we'd put ourselves in such a good spot that, you know, it's a really well worked move, and the final pass was the right one, and the, you know, the decision making wasn't there. And like you said, right back at the beginning when they got the penalty, it seems every single game, and it's so, so tiresome. We need something to happen against us before we actually start playing. Like, and like you said, I was exactly the same when they got the penalty and then we didn't have it. Then it wasn't given. I'm thinking maybe that's the one. Maybe that's the thing that has to happen in this game. We get away with it this time. But it's very, very frustrating to see that it doesn't change anything about our approach again. Like, there's no alteration in the tempo of our play. There's no change in our build-up. There's no change in where the ball goes. Like, patterns of play are really important, but not if they're so predictable that everybody knows what you're going to do and you do it so slowly that they've got time to get into place beforehand. Then it's just a complete irrelevance and actually harmful in terms of your own build-up play. And Everton were way better than us in that period of the game. Like, they won everything, not just the headers. They won the second balls. They won the 50-50 challenges. I lost count at one point. I was so annoyed. I think it was McAllister didn't go in for a 50-50, and then Jones lost a 50-50. And then I started counting because I was so annoyed. And I think I got up to about four and then just got so annoyed that I forgot to keep counting again after that. It was awful. Like, by half time, I know we're not quite there yet, but by half time, because you've already mentioned his passing, Trent had made more passes than anybody on the Liverpool team. Trent had also had the worst pass completion rate on anybody on the Liverpool team. Like, if you're not getting your passes right and you've got the most of the ball than anybody else, you have a responsibility to make it happen. Like, either by keeping your game much more concentrated and simplistic so that you do not lose possession as much as he was doing, or by, obviously, if you are right on top of your game, then fine, go and make things happen. He made like two or three really good passes in the first half, one that you've already mentioned there, and the rest of it was so casual, so lazy, so just lacking concentration and discipline, and everybody was all over the place. Like, the goal itself is horrific. It is like six different variations of the Jimmy Traore own goal against Burnley back in the day. It was so, so bad.
What a fantastic reference, though. What an absolute... That's cheered me up no end. Jimmy... the Jimmy pirouette. Absolutely stunning stuff.
You know, the point you make there about being second to everything, and I was doing the same, actually, Carl. I was counting the amount of challenges that we either shat out of or just got monstered in. And, you know, we bring on our dominant holding midfielder, and poor Orlando got ragdolled all over the place consistently once he took the field. It was happening to Curtis on the regular. Mac at least has some sort of physicality about him, but again, like you said, he was losing out on things too. And the other lads, Szoboszlai, again, one of the many raffle winners on the park tonight. And Dave, we pick it up from after the goal. Feel free to go back to it if you want, although we're going to do well to top the Jimmy reference. The second decent pass by Trent, in terms of like that's what he can do, comes pretty much hot on the heels of us conceding. A couple of minutes later, 32 minutes, he hits this lovely ball into feet, into Darwin, whose touch is appalling. There is an opportunity on 34, Luis Diaz to Mac, to Mo, and Darwin's in again. Now, he's advancing on goal from the right-hand side. He's a couple of yards out. He has a huge amount of the goal to aim at, to take a shot, but it's a by-the-numbers shot straight at the keeper. Neville was very critical about his finishing, and normally there were a couple of times when he's done that in the past, Neville, and he's been talking, oh, finishing, he's got to score that, blah, blah, the usual lazy punditry stuff. This one, yeah, there was time, fucking finish it. 37 minutes, there's a yellow card for Van Dijk, who's mouthing about another soft free kick given to them. And we will have to say that Madley was pretty much a homer in terms of anything that was going to Everton. They are the vaguest of touches, and they were gaining a free kick. They do nothing from that free kick for once. Everton on 43, a decent move, got Luis Diaz in, and it's a very similar position to Darwin Nunez, and it's very similar in terms of the part of the goal that he has to aim at, and it's very similar in the fact that he hits the keeper. I would say it's a tougher chance than what Darwin had. He had to hit it first time and on the volley. On 44 minutes, Mo blasts one outrageously wild and wide from a Darwin Nunez layoff, which was actually a half decent touch for once. 6 minutes are added and we are appalling in that nothing happens. The word I've written down is a word that at least one of you has used so far. Weak. Just fucking weak. There was a half decent move in 48 minutes and a Robertson shot, surprise, surprise, was saved at the near post because Andy Robertson will not score a goal. You'd like to think in the wake of the penalty, there'd be a reaction. You'd like to think in the wake of the goal, especially how awful it was, there'd be a reaction. There's a couple of opportunities there, but if you're not scoring them, that's not a reaction. Do you know what I mean? The attitudinal thing was still there. As the longer that first half went on, it was creeping back in again. Just shocking. Just a terrible, terrible, terrible way to respond.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, look, he's obviously offside on the penalty, but people didn't realise that initially. You would think that would have woken our lot up, but it didn't. The only thing it actually did, it sparked a reaction with Madley. And from then on, he just gave them everything they wanted. Absolutely everything. But that's fine. Like, that shouldn't make the difference. They're crap. Like, they are awful. We should be able to go out there and not only outplay them, but match them for fight. Like, that's really the be-all and the end-all of what happened tonight, is there just wasn't enough fight in the team. And, like, I can't abide Gary Neville, but he was absolutely right on the Nunez chance. The ball breaks to him by hook or by crook. Whether Mo meant the layoff, I don't know, but takes the touch. He has all the time in the world. He just needs to slide it across into the far corner. And Pickford's little arms and legs aren't getting there. And instead, he absolutely leathers it at him. And we've seen that far too often with him. Like, if he goes across the goal and pulls it wide, you'd nearly prefer that than just lashing it straight at the goalkeeper. Because at least it shows he's taken the time to assess the best option. But there's this arrogance with our team at the moment where these chances, it's almost like they think, oh, sure, we'll get another one. We'll get another one. It'll be fine. I'll score the next one. But Darwin didn't really get another chance. Diaz was furious when he missed his chance. Furious with himself, furious with the world. Diaz plays with fury anyway. And like we've said multiple times, he did show up and stand up tonight. He did put a physical performance in. I'd imagine Ben Godfrey's going home with a few bruises tonight. But he should score as well. Like, Diaz should score as well. Darwin does really well to knock it back to him. And it's funny because Diaz in that position multiple times has done that weird finish that he does where he almost slide tackles the ball in the air and both feet are off the ground. And this time he didn't do it. He tried to almost control where he was putting it too much and he puts it straight at the goalkeeper. But, like, we could easily have been 2-1 up there. And the fact of it is, it would have been absolute robbery had we been 2-1 up, because we didn't deserve anything. Everton deserved to be ahead. Like, their goal, like you said, Trev, is absolute. Like, it is. That is Del Boy and Rodney kind of stuff. I'd love to know what on earth was going on in that penalty area, because it pings around three different times. There's a very poor clearance by Robbo. There's Ibu sticking a foot out for God knows what reason. Alexis should be calling that he's about to clear that ball. Like, Alexis has got to let a roar there. But Ibu sticks out a foot for, again, God knows what reason. And to his credit, it's the perfect pass. Absolutely glorious stuff. There's an angle from behind the goal. And you can just see Branthwaite's eyes open up as the ball starts to come towards him, he can't believe his luck. Ali, to his credit, does incredibly well to even get anything on it, let alone almost keep it out. But again, who's following it up? Calvert-Lewin and another Everton player. And what are our lads doing? Standing around, just having a look at the ball. Sure, maybe it won't go in. It's just, it is absolutely pathetic stuff.
I felt when, on recent pods with the two of you lads, where you could see the fraying around the edges, I felt like I didn't want to say, you know, sort of definitively, because, you know, they are surprise merchants, and especially this season, more than any other season, we've had these late winners and we've had this sort of, you know, for the boss attitude, at least we did. And I didn't want to say it. I didn't want to say we've crested that wave completely. We are now on the far side. I felt it. I suggested it. I put it out there. Could this possibly be a thing? It's so fucking a thing. The minute that broke, it is broken completely. The emotional wave that we were riding, the whole let's do it for Klopp thing, it was wonderful. It was giddy, in fact, at times. And we thought it was going to carry us to the end. And so when an emotional wave like that breaks, what you need then is for your really super players to dig in and show the character that they have. And we've gone through them there today. And uniformly, they didn't do it. And they didn't do it in the previous couple of games when we really needed them as well. And that's just very, very disappointing. And, you know, there are different things that could have been done on the touchline. And when we get to this second half now, we're going to start talking about weird substitutions, and we're going to start talking about unused players, and we're going to start talking about where impetus might have come if it's painfully fucking not coming from the established pros on the park. So let's get into that second half, Carl, you and I, because if we were going to do anything, you imagine we come out with our arses on fire, going, driving towards that Everton goal. You imagine that the first 15 minutes of this is going to be absolutely painful for them as we drive towards what we need, which is now to recover the fucking deficit and go ahead. So the first thing that happens is Mykolenko, who I don't know how he walked, never mind continued when he got injured in the first half, was substituted. Ashley Young came on. There was a early Virgil header at goal from a corner. Another corner in 51 taken short, and Dom Szoboszlai has a shot towards goal, but it's blocked before it gets any distance at all. Robbo Air kicks one, but he's offside from a decent Trent pass to isolate him. 54 minutes, there's a pretty poor Idrissa Gueye effort after a decent move by them. 55, Mo has a poke, toe poke towards goal after some lovely work by Diaz in the build-up. A shite effort by Mo Salah, which allows McNeil to have a bit of a blast. Ali tips it over for a corner. And it's Mo's pricking around on the ball, loses the ball, and then he is actually, as the play develops, he's closest to the ball when the goal is conceded. When that shot is conceded, that Ali tips over. And of course, from the corner, Calvert-Lewin is free at the back post, and it's 2-0 to them. They did it quite well, but the fact that he was allowed to isolate himself when he was clearly the biggest threat that we had, that we could see that there was a block on Virgil, etc., etc. But, you know, it just seemed a bit weak. Talk to me, Carl, just a little bit about how completely short we came up in terms of the effort and application in that. And then to go and concede a second goal, I have to ask you, did you feel there was any danger after that of us getting back into it? Because it pretty much flattened me. I have to say, I never, every single match I've had this hope, even if I didn't have it. There's a percentage of it in the back of my head. Didn't have any today. And I think that's fairly indicative of how it was going.
Hey guys, it's Eddie Gibbs from Anfield Index here. I hope you're enjoying this podcast, and I'm sorry to call time on the show before it ends. In the current climate, it's tougher than ever before to offer podcasts for free. At Anfield Index, we produce over 75 free shows every month, which I'm confident is unparalleled in the LFC sphere. Whilst we'd love to offer everything for free, the production costs now make this impossible. That said, we don't want to follow the model of other channels and lock all of our content behind a paywall. So what we've decided to do is to continue offering every show for free, but cut that offering to 30 minutes on our longer shows. So to get all of our shows in full and enjoy the best of everything we have to offer, we really hope you'll consider supporting the channel and signing up at AnfieldIndexPro.com. For about the price of one cup of coffee, you'll get every podcast in full with zero ads. You'll also get access to our LFC VIP community, where you can enjoy live podcasts, engage with our podcasters, and chat with other Reds in real time. So that website again, AnfieldIndexPro.com. Join today.
Sports Social Podcast Network.